Mother had two sons, Kevin 5 and Ryan 3, and mother was making their favorite breakfast in the morning, pancakes. They loved pancakes more than anything in the world. And mother made the best pancakes. Well, Kevin 5 and Ryan, the younger brother 3, were seated at the table, and mother had completed the first kind of large kind of pancake, and she placed it down on the table, and both boys started diving after it. Mother called a halt to it and decided to give a little moral lesson. She looked at the boys and she said, "Boys, if Jesus were here, he would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait.'" Kevin, the 5-year-old, looked over at his brother Ryan, reached out, grabbed his hand, and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus." I think oftentimes that's kind of the way we approach Christianity. You be Jesus, not myself. I'll be Jesus when it's convenient. But when it's difficulty and we have to face critical issues, then you be Jesus. When taking a look at today's three readings, it's very rich. So much so you can take a multitude of themes. There's usually a few themes in every reading that you can, in angles you can go at, but this one, there's really a multitude, and in the gospel especially. One could go immediately after why Jesus didn't work miracles in his hometown. One can take a look immediately at the fact that they said he speaks with authority not like that of the scribes. And that's really basically a reference to the fact that when the scribes spoke, they always backed it up by making a commentary by someone else. So they were relying on someone else's authority. Jesus was speaking directly from the Father. He didn't speak like the scribes, relying on someone else's authority. He basically was using his authority in interpreting his Father's will. So, I mean, there's a multitude. But for myself, what comes immediately to my attention is something which we find out that Jesus experienced in this world that we all did, that Jeremiah experienced in the first reading. And that is that aspect of rejection. Rejection. And I've often said that, you know, if you take a look at the cross and take a look at all the suffering that Jesus did, and we immediately are struck by the physical suffering, and certainly that physical suffering, we can't even imagine any person enduring it, much less the Son of God, who chooses to do that for our sake, out of love for us. But what had to be, in my mind, the most devastating aspect of the suffering was the rejection and abandonment by those who claim to love him, to be a part of his life. That feeling of basically isolation that comes with rejection. Jeremiah knew it in the first reading that we had. Jeremiah knew exactly that rejection. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. And when you take a look at prophets, you've got to realize what a prophet is. A prophet is, In our context today, we think a prophet is someone who foretells something. But that's really not true. A prophet is one who is fulfilling and sees very, very clearly what God wants the community to do. So the prophet is going to get up and say, "You do this because God wants you to do this." And then what happens? He follows that up with, "And if you don't follow God's will, then these things are going to happen." And you know what? When we don't follow God's will, these other things happen, usually to our own detriment. So Jeremiah, being a prophet, assumed that mantle of prophecy. But he was rejected by the community for speaking the will of God and trying to place that community back in a covenantal relationship. He was rejected by other prophets. Jeremiah was beaten. He was in prison. And then later taken captured as the community did not follow his word to Egypt, where they say that he met his demise, not knowing exactly how. But what we have here is we have Jeremiah kind of reflecting a little bit on his call, sort of like, Lord, why did you put me in this position? You know, you call me to be a prophet. Why did you put me in this position where I'm rejected by the community, I'm rejected by other prophets? And then in reflecting upon it, he comes up with the statement. It's God who has anointed him. And he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. Now, the only job that Jeremiah had to do was fulfill what God wanted him to do, despite the fact that he would encounter rejections and sometimes even isolation from his own community. He was fulfilling what God wanted him to do. But even with that, there's rejection. In terms of ourselves as Christians, and more so even as Catholics, we are fulfilling what God wants us to do. Our sense is it should be convenient, but it isn't. Oftentimes it's met with rejection. Oftentimes it is met with isolation. But that is not the focus. The focus is to fulfill what God wants us to do. When we come to the gospel, of course, we see Jesus, the hometown boy, coming back to, and it must have been a wonderful aspect for Jesus coming back to Nazareth, hometown boy, and he comes in and he is selected to come up and to preach, to actually declare and do the readings. The end, and he chooses Isaiah, which is a declaration of the good news to the poor, those who are outcast. And that good news is the Messiah going to come. And his statement at the end, this reading has been fulfilled in your hearing. Him. An aspect of his messiahship that basically assumes, just like Messiah, just like Jeremiah, assumes that messiahship because an obedient response to God's will. But that's met with the skeptics who want him to be something that they create rather than the message that he's presenting. Now, that reference to Capernaum where he cured the lepers. And just a little bit earlier, remember from last week, 6 miles down the road to another town, he was in Canaan. What did he do? Word got out about him taking water and transforming it into wine. You do all those miracles over there. How about doing a few miracles here and now? How about doing it for me? Not the fact that the message and the news he brings is so vitally important individually for our salvation. Now, we have those two readings of rejection. And there's a wonderful story about that aspect of rejection. And the story is about a little 8-year-old girl, true story, who was in an orphanage in Pennsylvania. And a teacher was spying her. She was one of those little girls who really did not have many attractive features. And her mannerisms were crude. And she was kind of isolated by the other students. The teacher noticed in the orphanage that during one of the classes, she was writing a note and putting it in a letter. She was very interested in the fact of what that girl was doing because the girl really had no family and obviously had no friends. So she wondered who she was going to give that letter to or send that letter. She watched her. When it came time for recess and the children went out to play, this little girl went over to the fence in the orphanage and she threw the letter over the fence. Curious, the teacher, as the children came back in, went around to the outside of the fence and picked up the letter. And basically, the letter read inside, "To whoever finds this note, I love you." real cry from that isolation for the relationship. And the basic is the invitation to love. I think that that's key in the two aspects of rejection that we see in Jeremiah and we see the rejection of Jesus. What is the key is brought together in terms of the letter to Corinthians, which kind of tells us the basis of everything that we do is love. Now, let's take a look at that letter from that girl who was rejected. Here was one who was rejected, rejected even by his own, Jesus. And yet, what is the statement of the cross? To whoever receives this, know I love you. And in that is the great healing. And that's the basis for ourselves in terms of our Christianity, that we understand that the basis for everything we do is love. And if we don't do it with love, it doesn't fulfill God's mission. It doesn't reflect what Christ calls us to do, loving God above all things and our neighbor as ourselves. It is love that motivates and generates us to do what we do. And it is the generosity of God's love that is depicted in the note that he sends through his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That note which is kind of given to us as an invitation to enter into a relationship, an invitation to heal isolation and hurt, an invitation to overcome rejection. Whoever receives this note, I love you. Know fully that when we are talking about that basis of love, that when St. Paul kind of guides and directs us through Corinthians, and this is a passage that everybody hears almost immediately at 80% or 90% of the weddings we attend. One grabs hold of this as the reading. And you can see immediately why. Because if love forms the basis of whatever we're doing, then it can overcome all obstacles. And for a couple, it's essential for living fully the mission that God has given to them in their lives. So faith, hope, and love always remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Will you receive that note from the Lord and accept his invitation and respond to the fact that he states, I love you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.